Father Hahn asked all of us to share some news with you this weekend. We're supposed to do it at all the masses, and so you might have heard already, but he asked me and Father Dooley to share some news with you in a particular way, and it's going to affect the whole consortium. So this, and it's good that you're here to hear it firsthand, I guess, because a lot of people are going to want to hear it secondhand, too. And so this news is that you are a temple of God, and the Holy Spirit dwells in you. Were you expecting me to say something else? What could be more important or have a greater impact on the way we live our lives than knowing that we are temples of the Holy Spirit and Christ is in us? This news that we're one with Christ and dwellings of the Holy Spirit is so comfortable, it's like second nature, but it sadly seldom makes a lasting impact on our lives and the lives of others around us. If we do let it impact our lives, it can have dramatic effects. So let me illustrate it for you. The persecution of Diocletian, beginning in the 3rd century, was one of the worst in all of the history of Christianity. And at its height, there was an individual, a Greek by birth, and an actor, specifically in mimicry, being a mime. And he wanted to exploit this persecution for his own personal gain. Ardalion, as a mime, actually became, for a time, the person he was imitating, so much so to the exasperation of his victims that his life was threatened on many occasions. He was so good and thus so irritating that at times they wanted to kill him, those who he imitated. So he decided to parody the Christian faith and put on a mock trial as a performance in which a Christian priest would be arraigned, cross-examined, and as a traitor of the state, and sentenced. And some of his best friends were professing Christians, and while they were reticent to explain the faith for good reasons of not wanting to face cruel and hard torture and death, he gathered some information from them and committed it to memory. And Ardalion went to these trials where Christians were being tried, and he practiced and rehearsed long into the night what he saw by day at these trials and these witnesses. And on opening night of this performance, he felt a strange sensation. It wasn't anxiety. He was used to that. It wasn't excitement. He was used to that too. And this play went on kind of uneventfully as usual in the first and second act. And the third act began. The judge said to him, "The emperors have commanded all, without exception, to sacrifice to gods." Ardalion responded, "It is not possible for me to offer sacrifice to those in whose existence I don't believe." The judge said, "Do you not know that they're gods?" To which Ardalion replied, "No, I know there is one God who made all things and whom I adore." The judge said, "Isn't it disgraceful that a Roman citizen not worship the gods of Rome?" "No," Ardalion replied. "If your worship is not sincere, it is not worship at all. Now the God whom I adore, the Christ, led a life unblemished and commanded his followers to model the example of his life, have restraint over our passions and impulses, moderate our anger, cast out hatred and envy and jealousy and vengeance. He taught us to pray for our enemies and detractors, exercise charity, and comfort those who sorrow. Your gods have totally neglected the lives and morals of peoples and nations who worship them. When have your so-called gods commanded you to practice virtue?" And there was a silence in the auditorium. And the judge asked, "And where is your God now?" "He dwells at the right hand of the Father," Ardalion responded. But he also dwells in the hearts of those who believe in him. Yes, even in the heart of one such as I, he dwells. And in saying these words, Ardalion was transfigured, and he decried that for years he had been deceiving his audiences with his mimicry, but now he was caught in his own snare. That was the sensation he felt before the show. He so identified with the followers of Christ that he was studying and mimicking that he became one and publicly professed, while staring certain death in the face, that he was a Christian and Christ was living in him. He was evangelized by seeing those who lived out their Christian faith and realizing that death befalls both the pagans and the Christians, like rain falls on the just and the unjust. He took the unusual path of imitating Christ. Indeed, as Christ asks, if you greet your brothers only, what is unusual about that? The pagans do that. This evangelization, this living like Christ, is the work of all who profess belief in Christ. This week is the what. Next week, we'll hear a little bit about the how of evangelization. And this evangelization conference for the consortium will help you have the courage to mimic and imitate Christ until you become a little Christ, transfigured by your actions, to proclaim the good news to those who need to hear it, so you will believe it yourself, and you will live it yourself, and you will become transfigured, a little Christ, for all to see, and to give glory to your Heavenly Father.